Hi, Bernard Broncos. I'm Mr. Brown, and I'll be reading you pages 145 to 163. Here we go, chapter 44, Her Treacherous Heart. William Spiver was wearing his dark glasses. There was Pitzer Pop in his mouth. He was smiling. He looked exactly like a villain. That's what Flora's brain thought. But her heart, her treacherous heart, rose up joyfully inside of her at the sight of him. Flora's heart was actually glad to see William Spiver. There was so much she wanted to talk to him about. Pascal's wager, Dr. Meacham, the other Dr. Meacham, giant squids, giant donuts, and who was dunking them. If he had ever heard of a place called Blundermesine, if he'd ever sat on a horsehair sofa. But William Spiver was sitting beside Ulysses' arch-nemesis, smiling. Obviously, he could not be trusted. "Flora Bell," said William Spiver, "it's me. I'm surprised you don't smell me, William Spiver, since you can smell everything." "I've never claimed to be able to smell everything. However, it is true that right now I am smelling squirrel. And there is another odor. It is something sweet. Some scent redolent of school lunchrooms on rainy Thursdays." "What is it? Jelly?" "Yes, grape jelly. I smell squirrel and grape jelly." "Squirrel," said Flora's mother. She turned away from the typewriter. She looked at Flora. "Squirrel," she said. "What in the world are you doing back here with that squirrel? I told your father." "This maleficence must be dropped," shouted Flora. Her mother, hands still poised over the keys of the typewriter, stared at Flora with her mouth open. William Spiver, for once, was silent. On Flora's shoulder, the squirrel trembled. Flora slowly raised her left arm. She pointed at her mother. She said, "What did you tell my father to do with the squirrel?" Her mother cleared her throat. "I told your father." But the sentence remained unfinished, the truth unuttered, because the kitchen door suddenly swung open to reveal Flora's father. "George Buckman," he said to the large room at large. "How do you do?" He walked into the kitchen. He stood beside Flora. "George, what in the world?" said Flora's mother. "You look like you've been in a battle." "I am fine, just fine. I was saved by the squirrel." "What?" said Flora's mother. "I was attacked by Mr. Claus. He landed on my head, and..." "This is fascinating," said William Spiver. "But may I interrupt for a moment?" "Absolutely. Who is Mr. Claus?" "Mr. Claus is a landlord and also a cat, a large cat. Usually he attacks ankles. This time it was the head, my head. It was a very surprising attack. I wasn't prepared." "And?" said William Spiver. "Oh, yes. And. And Mr. Claus bit my ear, and there was a lot of pain. And the squirrel rescued me." "Have you lost your mind?" said Flora's mother. "I don't think so," said Flora's father. He smiled hopefully. "Can't you handle the smallest task? I asked you to take care of the squirrel's situation." Flora felt a wave of anger roll through her. "Quit speaking euphemistically," she said. "Quit calling it the squirrel situation. You asked him to kill. You asked him to murder my squirrel." Ulysses let out a chirp of agreement, and then the kitchen became as silent as the tomb. Dun 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 dun. Chapter 45. Four words. "It's the truth," Flora said. "You told Pop to kill Ulysses." Having denounced her mother, Flora now turned her attention to William Spiver and his betrayal. "What are you even doing here, William Spiver? Why are you in the kitchen with my mother?"
"He's assisting me with my novel."
William Spiver blushed a bright and otherworldly red. "I am delighted that you find me of some assistance, Miss Buckman," he said. He took the pitzer pop out of his mouth and bowed in the direction of Flora's mother. "I must admit that I have always had a certain facility with words, and I am terribly fond of the novel form, though my interest lies less in the area of romance and more in the speculative nature of things. Science fiction, if you will. Fact blended with fantasy. An extended meditation on the nature of the universe. Quarks, dwarf stars, black holes, and the like. Do you know, for instance, that the universe is expanding as we speak?" Only Ulysses responded to this question. The squirrel shook his head vigorously, obviously amazed. William Spiver pushed his dark glasses up higher on his nose. He took a deep breath. "Speaking of expansion, did you know that there are now something like 90 billion galaxies in the universe? In such a universe, it seems ridiculous and foolhardy to attempt a creation of one's own. But still, I persevere. "You didn't answer my question, William Spire," said Flora.
"Let me try again," he said.
"No," said Flora, "you're a traitor, and you," she wheeled and pointed at her mother, "are an arch nemesis, a true villain." Flora's mother crossed her arms. She said, "I'm someone who wants what's best for you. If that makes me a villain, fine." Flora took a deep breath. "I'm moving in with Pop," she said.
"What?"
said her mother.
"Really?"
said her father.
"Your father," said her mother, "doesn't know how to take care of himself, much less someone else."
"At least he doesn't wish he had a lamp for a daughter," said Flora. "I feel like I'm missing something," said William Spiver.
"I want to live with Pop," said Flora.
"Really?" said her father again.
"Go right ahead," said her mother. "It would certainly make my life easier."
Make my life easier. Those four words, so small, so simple, so ordinary, came flying at Flora like an enormous slabs of stone. She actually felt herself tip sideways as they hit her. She put up a hand and held on to Ulysses. She used the squirrel to steady herself. "Do not hope," she whispered. But she wasn't sure what it was that she was hoping for. All she knew was that she was a cynic and her heart hurt. Cynics' hearts weren't supposed to hurt. William Spiver pushed back his chair. He stood.
"Mrs. Buckman," he said, "perhaps you would like to retract those last words. They seem unnecessarily harsh."
Flora's mother said nothing. William Spiver remained standing.
"Okay, then," he said. "I will speak. I will attempt yet again to make myself clear."
He paused.
"The only reason I am here, Flora Bell, is that I came
looking for you.
You were gone a long time, and I missed you, and I wondered if you had returned, and I came to find you."
Flora closed her eyes. She saw nothing but darkness, and into this darkness slowly swam the other Dr. Meacham's giant squid, moving sadly along, flailing its eight and lonely, enormous arms. I came to find you. What was it with William Spiver and the words he said to her? Why did they make her heart squinch up?
Seal blubber, said Flora. I beg your pardon, said William Spiver.
Ulysses gently pushed against Flora's hand, and then the squirrel leaped away from her.
Oh, no, said Flora's mother. No, not that. No, no.
Ulysses flew over Phyllis Buckman's head. He went high, and then higher still. Yes, said Flora, yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
Chapter 46. Gianter. And here we see our illustrations. He flew because he was a superhero. This is Ulysses flying in the air. And he was coming to the rescue. He was cheering up Flora. William Spiver said that the universe was expanding. And now in a thought bubble, we have Ulysses the squirrel thinking, that means there will be more of everything. More Cheese Puffs, more jelly sandwiches, more words, more poems, more love, and more giant donuts, maybe even gianter donuts. Is gianter a word? This is again Ulysses thinking to himself. He's rolling around now in the illustration. It should be. Dun 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 dun. Chapter 47. Flying Squirrels. Why, Flora wondered, did everything become silent when Ulysses flew? It had been the same in the giant donut, at least until everyone started screaming. It was as if some small piece descended. The word became dreamy, beautiful, slow. The world became dreamy, beautiful, and slow. Flora looked around her. She smiled. The sun was shining into the kitchen, illuminating everything. Ulysses' whiskers, the typewriter keys, her father's upturned and smiling face, and her mother's astonished and disbelieving one. Even William Spiver was illuminated, his white hair glowing like a wild halo. What is it? Said William Spiver. What's going on? Flora's father laughed. Do you see, Phyllis? Do you? Anything can happen. Ulysses floated above them. He zoomed down to the ground and then went shooting back up to the ceiling. He looked behind them and performed a lazy mid-air backflip.
For the love of Pete, said Flora's mother in a strange and wooden voice.
Someone tell me something, said William Spiver. Ulysses dived down again. He flew past William Spiver's right ear.
Ack!
Said William Spiver. What was that?
The squirrel, said Flora's mother in her strange new voice. He is flying.
She stood up suddenly.
Right, she said. Okay, I have to go upstairs and take a nap.
Which was an odd thing for her to say because Flora's mother was not in any way a napper. In fact, she was an anti-napper. She didn't even believe in naps at all. She often said that they were a big, fat waste of time.
Yes, a little nap. That's what I need.
Flora's mother walked out of the kitchen and closed the door behind her. Ulysses landed on the table next to the typewriter. It's not that shocking, said William Spiver. There are flying squirrels, you know. They exist. In fact, there are some theories that posit that all squirrels are descended from the flying squirrel. In any case, flying squirrels themselves are a documented fact. Ulysses looked at William Spiver and then over at Flora. He reached out a paw and hit a key on the typewriter. A single clack echoed through the kitchen.
How about flying squirrels who type? Said Flora.
Not as well documented, admitted William Spiver.
Ulysses hit another key, and then another.
"Holy Bagamba," said Flora's father. "He flies, he vanquishes cats, and he types."
"He's a superhero," said Flora.
"It's amazing," said her father. "It's wonderful. But I think I better go have a quick word with your mother about the whole, situation."
Dun, 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 dun. Chapter 48. Banished.
Clack. Clack. Clack.
Flora stood silently. William Spiver stood silently. The squirrel typed.
"Flora Bell?" said William Spiver.
"Uh-huh," said Flora.
"I wanted to make sure you were still here."
"Where else would I be?"
"Well, I don't know. You did say that you were moving out."
"My mother wants me to leave," said Flora.
"I don't know if that's exactly what she meant," said William Spiver. "I think she was surprised, and perhaps her feelings were hurt. She certainly didn't express herself very well. Shocking, really, that a romance novelist could be so inept at the language of the heart."
Clack. 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 Ulysses had a look of deep and supreme satisfaction on his face.
"She said it would be easier without me," said Flora.
"Yes, well," said William Spiver. He pushed his glasses back up on his nose. He pulled out a chair and sat down again at the kitchen table. He sighed a deep sigh.
"My lips are numb," said Flora.
"I know that feeling," said William Spiver. "Having suffered through several traumatic episodes myself, I am very familiar with the bodily manifestations of grief."
"What happened to you?" asked Flora.
"I was banished."
Banished.
It was a word that Flora could feel in the pit of her stomach, a small, cold stone of a word.
Why were you banished?
"I think the more relevant question would be, who banished me?"
"Okay," said Flora, "who banished you?"
"My mother," said William Spiver. Flora felt another stone fall to the bottom of her stomach.
"Why?" she said.
"There was an unfortunate incident involving my mother's new husband, a man who is not my father, a man who bears the idiotic appellation Tyrone."
"Where's your father?" said Flora.
"He died."
"Oh."
One more stone sank to the bottom of Flora's stomach. "My father, my real father, was a man of great humanity and intelligence," said William Spiver. "Also, he had delicate feet. Yes, very, very tiny feet. I, too, am small of foot."
Flora looked at William Spiver's feet. They did seem extremely small.
"Not that that is particularly relevant information. In any case, my father was a man who could play the piano wonderfully well. He had an in-depth knowledge of astronomy. He liked to consider the stars. His name was William. But he's dead. And now my mother is married to a man named Tyrone, who does not have delicate feet and who is supremely unaware that there are stars in the sky. The mysteries of the universe mean nothing to him. He sold my father's piano. He is a man who refuses to call me William. Instead, this man refers to me as Billy. My name, as you know, is not now, nor has it ever been, nor will it ever be, Billy. I took issue with being so addressed. I repeatedly took issue. And after repeatedly taking issue and repeatedly being ignored, one thing led to another, and some irrevocable acts occurred, and thus I was banished.
What was the other thing? Said Flora. What irrevocable acts occurred?
It's complicated, said William Spiver. I don't want to talk about it right now. But as long as we are asking each other questions of an emotionally fraught nature, why did you say that your mother wanted a lap for a daughter?
It's complicated, said Flora.
I'm certain that it is, and I empathize.
There was another long silence, punctuated by the clacking of typewriter keys.
The squirrel is working on another poem, I suppose, said William Spiver.
I guess, said Flora.
It sounds like a long one, epic in nature. What in the world would a squirrel have to write about at such length?
A lot happened today, said Flora. It was late in the afternoon. The shadows of the elm and the maple in the backyard entered the kitchen and flung themselves in purple lines across the floor. Flora would miss those shadows when she moved away. She would miss the trees. She supposed she would even miss William Spiver. And then, almost as if he were reading her mind, William Spiver said,
I meant what I said. I'm here because I was looking for you. I missed you.
Flora's heart, the lonely, many-armed squid of it, flipped and flailed inside of her. She opened her mouth to say that it didn't matter. Not really, not now. But as usual, what she intended to say to William Spiver and what she said were two different things. The sentence Flora intended to say was, it doesn't matter. The sentence she said was, have you ever heard of a place called Blundermesine?
Pardon me, said William Spiver.
He held up his right hand.
I don't mean to alarm you, but do you smell smoke?
Flora sniffed.
She did smell smoke.
Now there was going to be a fire on top of everything else? For the love of Pete.
Dun 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 dun.
Chapter 49. Good news, Flora Bell. Flora's mother and father entered the kitchen together. Her mother had a cigarette in her mouth. Her mother was smoking. Her father had his arm around her mother's shoulder. This was almost as alarming as seeing her mother smoke. Her mother and father never touched anymore.
Good news, Flora Bell, said her father.
Really? Said Flora. She never believed it when someone said there was good news. In her experience, when there was good news, people just said that what the good news was. If there was bad news that they wanted you to believe that was good news, then they said good news. And if there was really bad news, they said, good news, Flora Bell.
Your mother thinks that it would be wonderful to have the squirrel stay here, said her father.
What? Said Flora. Here with her? And where am I supposed to stay?
Here, said her father, with your mother, you, your mother, and the squirrel. That's what your mother would like.
Flora looked at her mother.
Mom, she said.
I would be honored, said her mother. She took a long drag on her cigarette. Her hand was trembling.
Why are you smoking? Said Flora. I thought you stopped smoking.
It seemed like the wrong time to stop, said her mother. She squinted.
I am under a lot of pressure right now, speaking of which, the squirrel is typing on my typewriter where I write.
He writes poetry, said William Spiver, not fiction.
Let's just have a look-see, said Flora's mother.
She walked over to the typewriter and stood looking down at Ulysses and at the words on the page.
Let's see what kind of poetry a squirrel types.
Her voice sounded funny, tinny and far away, as if she were speaking from the bottom of a dark well. Actually, what she sounded like was a robot, someone pretending to be a human and doing a lousy job of it.
Flora felt a little flicker of fear.
Let me just light another cigarette here, said her mother in her robot voice. She lit a new cigarette from the tip of the old one, which was, of course, chain-smoking and dangerous behavior at the best of times. And this, obviously, was not the best of times. Her mother inhaled deeply on the cigarette. She exhaled. She said, "Shall I read the squirrel poetry aloud?" Dun-dun-dun-dun.